Hey, this is Tom.
And this is Gavin, and you're listening to Keep It Simple. Keep It Simple is a podcast devoted to exploring life with Christ through simple, organic expressions of the church. Hey, welcome. This is Keep It Simple Podcast. I'm Gavin Durson here, and along with my partner in crime.
Hey, I'm Tom LeCompte. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, we were just discussing, we've talked about this a few episodes, but this is our fifth year. We're starting year number five here. 2018 is upon us, and we're ready to roll. And I have to believe, Tom, that we need to adopt the new tagline for this year, the longest running simple church podcast in the world.
And in the universe,
or maybe the number one. Could we say the number one? That may be braggadocious.
Braggadocious. I'm okay with that.
We'll try the number one
longest running, most awesomest, so coolest.
I definitely feel like we would have to be the longest running podcast devoted to house church, simple church, organic church. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, there's probably some that maybe did a long time ago, but we're up to like episode 100 plus something or another now. So I don't know, man. I guess basically what I'm trying to say, Thomas, is that I'd like to pat you on the back. You're awesome. Here, pat me on the back.
Okay.
I'm awesome.
I'll give you a big hug.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. You should be honored. Basically what we're saying is you should be honored that you're devoting your time and energy to this podcast, because we are the longest running simple church, organic church,
most
house
awesome
church podcast in the nation slash
in the universe
world.
In the universe.
Okay, so with that being said, let's get right into it. In a serious note, today we want to take a sort of a time out and talk a little bit about the state of simple church in the United States of America. Because we are the longest running simple church podcast in America,
and the most awesome,
we are uniquely qualified to address this topic. And that's what we're going to do today. What is going on with house church in the United States of America? What is the state of the movement of house church in America, simple church, organic church in America? That's what we're going to talk about today. And again, we are uniquely qualified to address this issue, so you should feel very privileged that you are listening today, and we're going to give you all the scoop on that. But before we do, we need a word. We have a word from our sponsor. Do we have a sponsor yet? We're still looking.
No sponsors. We had Paving Paradise. Yeah, that was good. Paving Paradise. We're putting up a parking lot.
We're looking for a real sponsor. No. Now, let's jump into it. We don't have no sponsor, so we'll get right into it. The state of Simple Church in the United States of America. Tom, what's the state?
Well, you know, we don't have any statistics. We don't have any research.
This is all intuition.
And, you know, 47% of all statistics are made up anyway. So, but no, we have a feeling, and I have a good feeling about the house church movement. I don't think it's going to sweep the United States and take over like a wildfire. But I do think there are some sincere, God-loving, Christ-loving, Jesus-seeking people out there. They're wonderful churchgoers, and they have been, but they just want more than what the traditional church has to offer. And so they're seeking a better way to do ecclesia, a better way to be the called-out people of God and to assemble together, maybe not in a building, maybe not with a professional staff or with programs, but they truly want to love one another and to love Christ and to grow the church in a way that maybe nobody is thinking of. You know, people that are doing crazy things like, hey, let's go plant a church among skateboarders, or hey, let's plant a church among international students. Crazy, weird, out-of-the-box things, you know. So I'm really encouraged that there will always be people out there that are like that. They're clearly in the minority, and that's fine. That's okay. But, you know, I on Facebook and on the blogs, I troll these people and I read their comments and I get what they're writing, and you know, the comments that are made, and some people are kind of a little bit out there. Some people are kind of in this for weird reasons or negative reasons, but you know, the vast majority are truly seeking a more scriptural, a more simple house church or a simple church experience, and that will help them grow, will help them disciple people, and will bring them closer to Christ, and hopefully bring glory to the kingdom, glory to God. So I am encouraged. How do you see it?
Yeah, well, I've jotted a few things down here that I think are positive and can be positive, and it seems to me just what God's doing based on the phone calls I get, the comments I get, the circles that I sometimes rub up against. But I definitely think that there are some things at play. I think there is a growing, I think we're seeing a continuing growth in the number of people who, for good or bad reasons, are questioning the traditional church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a result of that, there are a number of folks who are developing interest in house church. There is a growing interest. I'm not sure that I'm seeing that interest or that open-mindedness necessarily translate into multiplication of house church communities. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think this year more than any, and I think some of it has to do, as we've talked about, some of the things with Francis Chan, he's very well known and he's been very outspoken about why he left the mega church. I think I even just saw something yesterday. I think Lecrae was a very well known, and he's sort of going through a lot of different things. But he's sort of questioning the mega church and some of these things that have just been staples. I think there is a growing sense of, I don't think what we're doing as the church is, and what we've accepted as church and what we've celebrated as church is falling short. And there's going to be that always, because I think what we're all longing for is eternity. We're all longing for heaven. So there is no perfect church. There is no, but I think that some of the polish that has been on the American church, that everything's awesome and everything's great and look at what we're doing and we've got these great services and these sorts of things, I think that's continuing to wear off amongst a growing number of people. And as a result, they're kind of saying, well, okay, well, if this isn't church, then what is it? And that could be a good thing for house church. That could be a bad thing. If it's a trend, if it's just a fad, if it's people, you know, complaining, looking, you know, again, we've said on this podcast a lot, you know, house church can't be a reaction to traditional church. No. It has to be a response to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
But I think that sometimes, like any good protest movement, is born out of something genuine. Like, people don't do house church. People don't change fundamental structures in their life unless there's something at their core that is shaken. And I think that's happening. I think that's been happening. I don't think it's some skyrocketing thing, but I think there is a growing number of people that are exiting the church in America. And I think by default, some of those are leaving the church, big church, C church altogether. But I think there are a growing, as a result of that, there's a growing number of people that are not quite comfortable with leaving Christ in his body, but have, like maybe you and I, found that, man, I don't see myself participating in the programs and the budgets and the buildings and the everything else, that I can't do that any longer. And they're out there saying, what then?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's definitely a growing number of those folks in our country. And again, that's not based, I think there are some studies that show that continue to show those trends, but just based on the phone calls I get, the emails I get, and you know, that's kind of what I'm seeing. I'm also seeing I think that there is a growing number of traditional churches that are starting to embrace the term, at least, house church.
Right.
And that's been happening for a while, but I think there is a growing number of, I got a call just recently from folks in another state who, he is a discipleship pastor at this church, and he and his senior pastor were brainstorming about planning new churches, and the thought came to them, what if we started new house churches? And you know, again, that those terms can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different folks. And I think there is a growing number of folks adopting the language of house church, mm-hmm. organic church, simple church. My sense is there's a real wrestling there amongst those folks, though, whether or not they will actually full out embrace church planting rather than growing their church through small groups that call themselves house churches, you know, that remains to be seen. But I definitely have seen a growing number of traditionally minded leaders, church leaders, embracing the idea of house church and the possibility that it might bring to the body of Christ in their area if new churches were started, at least in language, new churches were started that looked a lot like house churches. Again, I think where that goes, you know, I pray that it goes in the direction of church leaders, traditional church leaders being open-handed and willing to empower their members to go and start new congregations that are independent house churches that are affiliated or maybe connected to in some loose way, but not in some top-down way from these traditional churches. But again, that remains to be seen. And another thing, I do think that there is a growing number of people, and I think this is a real praise, who are organizing in house church networks. Now, what these structures, what these look like, again, can vary. But I know just in Kentucky, and I've reached out to these folks and hopefully be meeting with them, and this is a great answer to prayer, that they're in northern Kentucky, popped up a new network of house churches, and have four or five house churches there, and looked like, you know, there was some structure to it. Again, we all kind of get nervous about that word structure to it. Some folks run from anything that has to do with structure. Others, you know, there can certainly, we all have a comfort level, I guess, of what structure to a house church network can look like. And I'm probably within some of these networks that I'm seeing emerge on the end of less structure. I see myself more as someone who is a resource, and a relationship is the structure, and an encourager, and I will offer encouragement and help and assistance when asked, but certainly I'm just more, I see myself more as one that is not trying to mandate some sort of mandatory meetings and these sorts of things we have to do, and or training process you must go through in order to be a part of anything I'm doing. Maybe I could grow in that, maybe I couldn't. But, you know, again, there's a spectrum, I guess, on what I mean by organizing house church networks. That some seem to be very organized, and I think we've talked, Francis Chan, of course, is doing his thing in California, and we followed that a little bit. He seems to have a little bit more of a structure in place than some folks may be. But I think this is all good. I mean, I think that anytime you're seeing a growing, you know, the face, again, I've often said that I really dream and pray for that day that whenever you walk up to someone in your street and they say to you, oh, you're a Christian, what kind of, the question won't be, well, which church do you go to? Mm-hmm. Their first question might be, oh, well, what kind of church do you go to?
Oh, yeah.
Do you go to one of these churches that meet? And by asking that, it will just be such a prevalent thing that there will be Christians, everybody knows, who goes to churches that meet in homes, and there will be Christians that go to churches that meet in more organized buildings and these sorts of things. But that there would be a growing number, that would be a common question, that everyone would be rubbing up against Christians who worship God and follow God outside of the more traditional structures. I think that would be a very good thing. It's something we, of course, advocate and are praying for and praying to be a part of, seeing happen, for all the reasons that we've discussed on this podcast over the last 5 years. So, you know, will these, you know, I think some organization is helpful in that. And it's, you know, you can have too much and you can get right back into the place of now, well, we've organized our house churches into a traditional church that calls itself house church, you know, and that can maybe not be as helpful. But people are experimenting, people are trying, people are, you know, becoming more and more open and more, I think, to decentralized types of structures and thinking of the church as more of a fluid organism than an organization. And I really see that happening more and more. And I think that's really positive. And
okay.
So,
Let me ask you two questions about this, Gavin. And if you want to think about it, I'll go ahead and answer first or whatever. First question is, what weaknesses do you see, or what main weakness do you see? And then what would you love to see us do better?
Yeah.
So what are we doing not so good, and what would you like to see do better?
Yeah, I think a weakness, you know, and this is again just from my experience. I think I wrestle with this, right? Like, freedom can become a stumbling block, as we know from the scripture. And so, I think one thing I love and enjoy about house church is that it's the body of Christ set free in a lot of ways, you know. And I'm advocate of that. I'm an advocate of that. But I also think that...
Do you do house church in pajamas? Is that...
Well, if you, you know, maybe, if you show up early. But, you know, I think there is... And I wrestle with this personally. I mean, how do we help people enjoy the freedom of being able to start a house church and know that it's a New Testament church and that they can grow into that, but also help them understand the magnitude of what that means, such that it's not, you know, I think a challenge can be is that we can do house church as simply a more comfortable way of doing church and not a more serious way of doing church in a sense. So with that, you know, the converse of that is that you can do church and be so serious about it with mandated things that everyone has to do that now you're creating these structures that I think are counterproductive. So how do we as leaders help encourage the multiplication of house churches in a healthy way that preserves that freedom and that but also does not communicate or, I guess, you know, quality house churches. That's what I think has been on my heart lately. Whether or not that's a national issue, I don't know. But
quality
I know
quality house churches.
I think with the folks that I work with, you know, that's been a heart on my heart. You know, are we just getting together?
Yeah.
We think about it on Saturday night. Oh yeah, I guess we're getting together tomorrow. Oh well, okay. Let's get together, and it's good, and we enjoy being with those folks. And maybe, you know, there's some relational dynamics that contribute to disciple making that might even be better than if they were to just these folks were just to go sit in a pew and hear a sermon. And they're you know, it's good, but it's not near where it could be. I mean, are we really weeping with one another? Are we meeting with one another throughout the week? Are we on each other's hearts? Are we serving? Are we really sharpening each other? Are we really loving each other like Christ would have us to? You know, or are we just lowering the bar for what it means to have a church and not raising the bar for discipleship? Right. You know, we've talked about that. We want to make sure we lower the bar so that folks feel empowered to start churches, but we also must simultaneously raise that bar for discipleship. And what that looks like, you know, it's hard to know. I mean, raising the bar, someone may be raising the bar in their life and it may not necessarily be visible to everyone, you know, but they are trusting God in new ways and they're enjoying their relationship with Him in new, meaningful ways. And so, you know, I think that's the one thing, that I would say, improving the quality of our fellowships and, you know, what that means and how that looks and how we get there. You know, that's what I think it's probably different in every situation, but I think for people those that are starting house churches, those that would consider themselves to be a leader in their house church, I think understanding the weight of that could be a good thing, and not if it's not done in like a burdensome way. I think maybe that it's not just casual, but that this is vital. That what you're doing is not
eternal consequences.
Yeah, there's an urgency. There's a vitality. There's like this is not just something I do because I don't like going to traditional church, because I like getting together with my friends. But understanding that, man, I'm in this simple church. This is important. There are we are the body of Christ. Like in owning that and feeling the weight of that, not in a way that's burdensome, because His yoke is not burdensome. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. But I guess with a seriousness or a renewed sense of urgency, I think would be maybe a concern.
So a sense of urgency. The weakness I see, like I was mentioning before, I troll the internet, you know, and I'm always reading blogs and reading comments and reading, you know, Facebook posts and everything. The thing that I see as a weakness, not so much for the house church, but for the church, the North American church, whether you worship in a brick and mortar church or whether you worship in a living room, I think we suffer from a very sad case of biblical illiteracy. People do not know their Bibles. They don't know the scripture. They don't know. Again, this isn't just a problem with the house church. This is a problem with the North American church. We not only do not know scripture, we've never read the whole Bible. We take verses out of context. Worse than that is the tendency of just saying scripture is not important. If I get together, all I need is the Holy Spirit. I don't need scripture. That to me is a very dangerous mindset, very dangerous attitude, because if you're going to be that way, if you're going to say, well, I'm just going to listen to the Holy Spirit, how do you know, if you don't know the scriptures, how do you know if that voice you're hearing is the true voice of God or a counterfeit? So we have to know the scriptures. We have to read them. I'm not saying we have to go to seminary and learn Greek and everything. I'm just saying read your Bible. You know, read it every day. Read it all the way through. Don't just pick and choose what you want to read. Read it in big chunks. So scriptural literacy is a big concern of mine, not only in the house church, but in the church in general.
Yeah.
What I'd like to see better, I'm like you. You know, I like to see growth. I'd like to see people take this somewhere where it hasn't been yet. And you know, and we read in the book of Acts how within 30 years, using simple methods, simple church, no internet, no jet travel or anything like that, the early Christians turned the world upside down. I'd love to see that, wouldn't you? I'd love to see Christianity just start like a grass fire and just, you know, ignite the world.
Yeah.
So
I do think that, you know, one of the things that I, you know, a lot of times we know this happens, and whether or not we're going to see the kinds of persecution here that has happened in other places, I definitely do think that as more persecution happens in our country, the more that we are going to see simple church grow.
I think
and,
so.
You know, so that's not something that necessarily, I mean, I don't want to see persecution of Christians and an increase of that, but you can see the writing on the wall a little bit of how that might be coming down the pipeline in the years to come.
Yep.
And, you know, I continue, you know, one of the visions that God kind of picture he put in my brain, I think, was, I can actually see this. One of these days I'm going to find a painting of it and I'm going to buy it. But it's like, I see this big, like, harbor and all these boats, people getting out in these boats and loading their families into these boats and their friends. And I see them getting these sails put up, you know, and they're all sitting out there. And what they're doing is they're waiting for that wind to blow. You know, and I don't know what's going to cause that wind to blow or when it's going to blow or if it might blow a little bit here and there before the real big gust comes that moves these boats completely out of the harbor. But I feel like a lot of what we're called to do is to get our families in these boats and get our sails up. And these boats sort of, in my mind, represent these simple church communities that are scattered all around this country. And I think that wind is going to blow at some point. And it'll have to be for the kind of multiplication and the kind of things you're talking about, the book of Acts kinds of things. I mean, that's got to be a Spirit of God-led
right.
thing. But we have to be in the boat with the sail up.
We have to be ready. God's
going
to do
ready.
It, but we have to
be
ready.
Prepared. We got to know how that's going to happen. We got to know how the boat works. We got to know how the sail goes up. We got to know how to turn the rudder the right way so that when it does blow, we don't go the opposite direction. We got to know these things. We got to be ready, and we got to have those people ready in the boat to go, packed, ready to go. And I feel like that's a lot of what Simple Church is and why I'm called to do. And I do believe that that boat, that wind is going to blow. When it's going to happen, I don't know. And, you know, to your, I think one of those preparation things of being in that boat, and what to kind of your point, and I feel like a broken record. I mean, I say this, I feel like, multiple times a week, and I really believe it. And it's something that I need to be better in my own life too. But, you know, if we're not teaching people how to fish individually, then I think the biblical literacy piece is not there. The dependency on God is not there. The learning to trust that God can use the scriptures to guide and direct mm-hmm. them and teach them, that He is sufficient, that His Holy Spirit does illuminate the Word to us and leads us into all understanding, mm-hmm. and that the Word is a vital part of that. You know, I feel like every week I'm saying, hey, look, and I've said it on this podcast probably a billion times, but at the end of the day, you know, when I look around my house church, and I look at my own life, I'm saying, are we coming here expecting, for just because we're in this room, for something to happen? Or are we daily walking with Jesus? Are we following in love with Him? Are we spending time with Him? And that might not, some people like Bible studies and programs and like little more rigid kind of reading formulas or devotion books or whatever, but are we putting ourselves before Christ with the Word, and are we spending time with Him, asking Him to speak to us, to teach us, to show us Himself? Are we experiencing Him daily in the Word and in prayer? And then when we get together with our Simple Church family, are we coming with an overflow of that to spill out onto others? Or are we coming empty? Are we coming dry, hoping there's going to be some magic word spoken by somebody that will, you know, fill us up for the week? That's the old mindset of, we go to church to get fed. Or are we feeding? Are we self-feeding? And I think that, to me, is my number one challenge to folks, and it's my number one action point, because I really continually think this, that if we had a house church of 10 people and we got 10 of our friends together, if we're self-feeding on God's Word and we're learning through, and maybe it's over a cup of coffee with another brother or sister, that we get together and really help each other understand the Word, and we are holding each other to, you know, to praying for one another on a very real, intimate level, and we're sharing our struggles and these sorts of things. We've called that life transformation group from the Neil Cole idea, and we've posted lots of things about that at simplechurchalliance.com, and people can go there and download, you know, check all that. But are we learning to have those kinds of relationships that are daily with people, where Christ is at the center of it? Those fundamental, like, disciple making friendships, as I say sometimes, like, is that the norm of what's in our, represented in our Simple Church? Do people have that? And if they do, then I really think that what we do in house church and simple, all that stuff, in some level, it does kind of take care of itself. I mean, you have to have people there, but if people are walking with the Lord every day and they have an experience of Jesus throughout the week, where then they get together with their brothers and sisters over a meal to break bread, to worship God, and to spill that over. And I really do think that in the end of the day, that is God is then at the center of that community. He's in the lives and the hearts of the people there. He's in position. You people are in position to be before Jesus, listening and talking and learning from Him. And He is then able to guide that community to be and grow into all that He wants it to be. But it's not just one person in that group doing that, and everyone else coming to sort of feed. It needs to be the majority of people. There's always going to be people in a house church that are on the fringes or maybe new, but the majority of that, of the house church community, Simple Church community, you know, if that's happening, then I think that God is going to do wonderful and great things. And the time frame of it and what it will involve, and, you know, we can make up ideas of what a success looks like, but in the end, God's eyes, like, He's going to be glorified and He's going to be lifted up and He's going to be the one that's being made known and becoming more and more real to the people in that church. And that, to me, that's what I pray happens this year.
Okay. So in summary, the state of the house church, I think we both agree it's pretty healthy. It may not be growing the way we want it to be, and God is still using the brick and mortar church, and that's fine. That's good. We're here to stay. Yeah. We're here to stay, and God's going to use us in some way.
Yeah, I think I would summarize it by saying that there's a growing interest. There's and it seems to be exponentially growing. I don't know on that curve when the tipping point happens. I don't think it's there yet.
No.
And certainly the interest is growing. The interest is growing. Now, I think my prayer is that that interest will translate into disciples being made, and as a result, new churches being formed and multiplied. Yep. And I think there are a growing foundation being put in place to really facilitate that and for that to happen. And I hope we can all be a part of that here, and those that are listening can be a part of that and getting those boats out, getting the sails up, getting ready.
Waiting for the wind to blow.
Yes, yep. Sir.
Good. That was a good podcast, and I hope you'll join us for more of these podcasts in the future.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. KeepItSimplePodcast.com. Check previous episodes. Leave us a comment. Contact us. As always, go on iTunes. Leave us a comment, rating. That's always helpful. We thank you all for listening, and we'll be back again with another episode. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple.
Thanks for listening to Keep It Simple. If you've enjoyed this podcast, leave us a comment at keepitsimplepodcast.com or find us on iTunes or Facebook. We welcome your feedback, your ratings, your questions, or comments.